talking a little bit about rumors in the cash market when it comes to wheat and China. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. And let's start out talking about these rumors that have now been confirmed in regards to wheat and China.
Yeah, you know, China had got some excitement in the wheat market a few weeks back on November 20th, I believe it was, and we got confirmation they had purchased a couple of cargoes of U.S. White wheat. And so it was then kind of assumed that white wheat must have been in the trade agreement with China. So that was encouraging. And the folks in the Pacific Northwest in particular were excited about that. I was out there on the 19th talking to them about that possibility. But then yesterday we started hearing rumors that China had canceled the purchase. And in fact, today we got confirmation of that from USDA. No reason given for the cancellation, other than the fact that Argentine wheat is much cheaper right now. And so that must have been just too tempting for China to go ahead and cancel and buy from Argentina. They've been known to do that before. They continue to buy soybeans, even though that's more expensive. That seems to be more of a political buy, but they don't seem to have that same conviction for wheat, still seeking after the cheapest source. And so that was disappointing to the Chicago market today. And it does raise concerns. If they can cancel wheat purchases, will they cancel soybean purchases as well?
Yeah, definitely sitting in the back of the mind. And speaking of wheat, there's a little bit of weather worry going on, not only here in the States, but globally, as some temperatures are doing some fluctuating.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at a very cold start to the new year in Russia and their wheat belt there in the Black Sea region as a whole possibility. Yeah, that's a long ways out, yes, but the models are starting to show a real dip there. And so that's something we're going to have to watch. Generally, winter wheat acres were believed to be down about 6% there. So if, in fact, they do lose some due to winter kill, that leave that crop a little bit more vulnerable. And the Black Sea tends to set the world price in the cash wheat market. So it's something we'll keep an eye on. Also dry in parts of Europe, much of the plains hard red winter wheat belt, particularly expanding from a third of the belt upward to expected to go to half or more of the belt, is expected to be suffering from dryness as we go forward in this current weather pattern right now, which is funneling most of the precipitation to the north and the east and the soft red winter wheat country. And so that helped provide some support for the Kansas City market today, which held chart support, which is a positive, along with corn market holding chart support as well.
Do you have any concerns? I know I'd read earlier that there was some dormancy issues that they were talking about on this wheat because of some areas of Kansas getting pretty warm.
Yeah, we are warming up in the 60s and 70s expected over the next couple of weeks. So that could leave us real vulnerable as we start bringing this crop back out of dormancy, if it was in dormancy, and leaving it susceptible if we do get a big drop in temperatures, sub-zero temperatures in the month of January or February. So that's something we're going to have to watch. When you take a wheat crop into dormancy and then pull it back out, you never get the same level of dormancy you have the second time when cool weather moves back in once again. So again, it's hard to sustain a rally in the wintertime on weather worries, but it's something to keep on a watch on.
All right, let's look at the EPA and announcing that they've pushed everything back to the first quarter instead of making some sort of announcement this week.
Yeah, they certainly did. We've been waiting for that EPA announcement on final regulations on biofuel program now for quite some time. Finally, the court said, hey, we want a timeline. And so the EPA gave us a timeline yesterday. We thought maybe that timeline would be by a certain date. Well, the timeline was sometime in the first quarter of next year. That was a big disappointment to the markets. We saw soybean oil fall to new six-month lows when they on that announcement, but it did recover as a lot of people saw, hey, that dip in price may be a good opportunity to go ahead and buy some supplies. So it did bounce off of that, and we finished the day much stronger than what we started it.
Now, you talked to us about some stronger demand happening in the corn market. How do you see that factoring in? And is that part of the reason we're seeing the negative slide once again in the livestock?
Well, certainly, as we look at the corn market, we've seen strong export demand, and that looks to continue to be strong in the near future. And we're over 200 million bushels ahead of the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target. So exports could still go higher. Feed usage is likely as much as 300 million bushels too high, but exports are strong, and ethanol demand is strong, as we set another record last week for ethanol production. And so that's a positive overall. We have ample supplies of corn. The question is, how much of those supplies will we use up and will leave us vulnerable for the year ahead? We held chart support on corn. That was a positive. If soybeans continue to slide, it can pull corn lower with us. And once that support pulls, gives way, if it does, end users might let it come to them and back off a little bit. But for now, it's encouraging to see corn maintain that sideways trading range that it's been in, and hopefully provide some support under it.
Well, we're heading into 2 weeks of shortened trading weeks. That obviously, as it does every year, Arlen, has kind of a weighted factor on our livestock when it comes to processing and just movement in general.
Yeah, we're seeing packer margins really compress again and go negative. They had a time of positive after being very negative for much of the last couple of years, gave packers some relief. We saw weekly slaughter rates pushing upward toward that 600,000 level, which was good, cleaning up some of the heavier weight cattle. That's been positive. But now we go into this cattle on feed report, and that's coming out on Friday, to really give us a sense of where we're at. And overall expectations are that on feed numbers would be 98.2% of year ago levels. If that is confirmed, that would again be a 10-year low in placements. Placements at 90.9% of year-ago levels would be a 10-year low for the fourth time in the past 6 months. So supplies are low. We've been still maintaining beef supplies a little bit above year-ago levels because of heavy carcass weights, which we're now starting to back off of a little bit. But record imports have been another factor in that, and we were opening the door for more Brazilian beef going forward as well now.
All right, Arlen Suderman joining us today for the Wednesday market wrap-up. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.